Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll pick back up at verse... Well, we left off at verse 8, I believe. But we'll go back and kind of get a background again. Paul is, when he starts into chapter 11, he says to them to be followers of him, be followers of me as I also am of Christ. And the previous verse, he's always seeking the edification of the believer. He's always seeking for the growth of the believer, and for their for them to understand where they fit in God's purpose. You know, it's the whole Corinthian letter is it's a reproof, but it's also the aim is if you don't, we said this before, if you know better, you do better. If you have no idea, then you are left to your own devices. So God had invested a lot in them. I think we looked at the Israelites when they came out of Egypt, the last lessons we had. They had no idea what God had in store for them. They had no idea what God thought of them. But going along, it was their education, right, to educate them as to who they were and what God had in store for them.
What he expected of
and what them. And what he expected of them. We don't want to talk about that part. Just tell me what God has for me. I don't want to hear about what he expects out of me. That was much like the Corinthians, though, right? They had been partakers of all these benefits, all this grace that God was giving them, and yet he equipped them for a purpose. They didn't even know at the time that they would be writing 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. They didn't know the things that they were asking Paul would be part of the canon that we read and enjoy today. They were instrumental in God's in the furtherance of the gospel, along with all the other churches that Paul visited, the Romans, Thessalonica, Colossians, Ephesians, the Philippians, all those churches he went to. They all had a part in the big picture. So for them to be self-centered and for them to lose sight of what God wanted from them. That's what Paul says. I'm doing these things for you. And he says to them in verse 11, be followers of me as I also am of Christ. And we know if you look through any of the epistles, it was always what God wanted first. And then how do we relate that to the other believers? And Paul says, follow me as I follow him. Sound like Philippians. He let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So, and he goes on to give them a little bit more of this. In verse 2, he says, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. And we talked about that a little bit. Or all the ordinances, they're not contrary to us. As we read in Colossians, and they're not all legal. Like when we use the word commandments, we think of you better do this or else. But Paul says, keep the ordinances that I deliver to you. And he also tells the Thessalonians to keep the commandments. Well, he's not putting them, say it again.
He tells them too in 14.
In 14?
Chapter 14.
Let any man, if he thinks himself to be spiritual or prophet, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are of the Lord. But he's not putting them under a performance.
No.
He couldn't.
Right.
He wouldn't lay all this background and then turn around and say, I'm putting you under this performance. That's what we're talking about. Our words have to match God's words. And if the understanding is not there, it's not on his part, it's on our part. So you see, ordinance is the first thing most churches will think is water baptism, the Lord's Supper. Paul says, ordinance is nothing but a verbal or written
suggestion.
I didn't want to say suggestion.
Admonition?
I was going to say, admonition or verbal or written. I was going to say commandment, a verbal or written commandment for their obedience. That's all it is.
Right. Without the punishment of the law.
Without the punishment.
Still saying,
do this.
Do this, because this is what's good for you. Nope. And if you don't, it's going to be bad for you.
Not unto salvation.
Right.
Not for salvation. Right. You know
but
what?
Because you have this.
It could be a different kind of salvation, though.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not always unto. He's talking to people who already have eternal life.
Right.
But he said, if you do these things, it might save you from some other troubles that you might run into, like some of these. But he says to keep the traditions. But verse 3, I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman. I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. And we talked about that last week, the God-given hierarchy, the God-given order. And he's laying the foundation because some things were happening in Corinth that were out of order. Like in most churches, some things happen that are out of order. So, and one of the things is that there had to be some women there who were prophesying or speaking in the assembly with their head uncovered. Now, some people, I heard a guy say, this was a while back, that this was a hypothetical case. And we'll probably see why as we go forward, but he lays a whole lot of information down for a hypothetical case. But he says, he lays down first a natural order that you can't argue with.
Could we say that under the in the Old Testament and under the law, the order included the angels under Christ, or
Could you say that the order included in the Old Testament, that the order included the angels? You can do that because the angels, they were more involved in the Old Testament activity. They were actually the ministers and protectors of Israel. And the angels were higher than men and lower than Christ, even though Christ was not incarnate then, only as the, as the angel of the Lord, but in very rare cases. But you can say that they were, and that is the, because all the angels are, as Hebrews says, for God, they are all ministering spirits. They know who the head is, some of them. And those who left their first estate was the thing they did, was they left. As Jude would say, they left their habitation, their places, their sphere of operation. They left. Well, God ordained that position for them. They left that. When he talks about the anointed cherub that covereth. Well, you know what? Very interesting. He used that same word, the covering. And when he says the anointed cherub that covereth, is what did he cover? He covered the throne of God, but his purpose over that throne was to honor and magnify God.
Absolutely.
as a subordinate. Right. But he said, I want to be what?
The chief.
I want to be like him.
He got out of order.
He got out of order. So he fell. Same thing with a woman is, as a covering for the man, she is to honor and glorify the man, not to usurp his position. So we're here, back here, he says, you know what? Go ahead.
I didn't understand what you just said. As the covering for the man, the woman should honor her husband.
Yeah, as a, the covering, the woman's covering was to... thank you. The woman's covering was to show that she was in submission to the man, subordinate to the man, as a helper, not a leader, as one being led, not a leader. So that's, yeah, thank you for paying attention to that. You know what? I got to do this. You know, I was thinking that in the when we talk about Satan, since we were talking about him, Lucifer, there were, when he talked about his precious stones, and there were 10 stones that were embedded in him, in that being. And that, and we were talking about that, it was the honor. It was to show that it was all that glory was to magnify God, to honor God. And he became proud of what God had equipped him with.
Right.
And said, look at me, instead of look at what God has done. And that's the, obviously drew the, those angels with him and drew them out of their position to follow him. You know, most churches now have women preachers or women pastors, associate pastors.
Yes.
How did we get that far?
I stopped reading the Bible. I'm going to stop saying it was...
We got out of order.
Somewhere, you know what? It started and then it snowballs and now you have women bishops. And Paul says, he says, I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Without the head, what happens?
Yeah.
That from the head you get your instruction, your information. Our head sends signals to the body, tell it what to do. And when those synapses stop working, you know, we call that paralysis.
Or like a chicken with his head chopped off.
Or convulsion, right, or seizures. Something's not working right. But he says that the head, and you know what? And consequently, that's a governmental term. Where when he talks about Christ being the head, you realize that that goes right along with the structure. And you know, like Paul may say things like in Corinthians, he says, and we'll see this, he says, this is the way it is. And he says, but all things are of God. Well, it originates from him. And what Christ does is he comes down to execute the Father's plan. And we're just on the program. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, he says, verse 4 now, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. How is that?
Well, a head covering was a sign of, I guess, during that time, the culture. The head covering was a sign of being under authority.
Yes.
And so I guess if a man came to service with someone on his head, meaning he was under somebody's authority.
Under somebody's authority. In this case, if who we talked about this last week, if you have an assembly, what makes up a local assembly? Who? Who makes up? Men and women. If I come in with my head covering on,
like
what am I saying? That I'm under subjection. I'm under submission. To who?
Yeah.
I'm asking you, to who? It would be, maybe it's another man, but if all the men have head coverings on, we're saying we're in submission to the woman. And that's why he says every man that has his head covered dishonoreth his head.
Dishonoreth Christ.
Dishonors Christ. Because he says let's keep going. Verse 5, he says, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. So he uses the example, I think we may mention it this last week, is when you look at the order, he says God, Christ, and I'll put this up here just for we can visualize it. He has God, right, and we did that, Christ, and you have the man, and then you have the woman, right? And that's the order. Now, on this earth, Christ is not here. If he were here, then we can put him down here too. But since he's not here, he has left the man in charge. He has left the man in charge.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Now, well, I wasn't waiting on it, but it helps. You go back to the beginning. In the garden, who did he leave in charge? How do you know that? I'm just saying, because Adam was first formed and he said, this is what you do. Even though they were together in Adam. You go through here. You know what? Hold your hand here. Okay. Genesis chapter 5. This is we're going to just look at a few things that show you how God has invested the authority in the man. There's a verse that says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Well, God has, thank you. So he has invested the authority to him. So Genesis chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam and Eve. The generations of Adam in the day that God created man in the likeness of God, and made he him male and female created he them and blessed them. Look at verse, let's keep reading. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and what? Begot a son. Verse 6. And Seth lived 105 years and what? And begot Enos. Verse 9. And Enos lived 90 years and begot Canaan. Verse 12. And Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. Are these men having babies?
No.
Why didn't he say that their wives begot these sons? Because when God looks at this, he looks at the man. All right. Look at this. Look at Genesis chapter 9. Is it 9? 10. Yeah, chapter 10. Verse 1. He says, now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. And this whole chapter he talks about the sons who begot these sons and who begot these sons, and on and on. No women, no mention of the women there. Why is he doing that? Because he's invested the authority to the man. He wants you to know that. When you, back to Corinthians, when you look at, even in Paul said this in Acts, that Jacob, Abraham got Isaac, Isaac got Jacob. Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. Well, we know that women were involved in that, right? But he's talking about Isaac and Jacob and Abraham. No women in there. He's letting you know, and it's just in passing. It's not even he said, by the way, and I'm not saying this in a bad way. He says, I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
You're great. You without you it can't be done. But I'm talking to him because the authority is invested in him. We don't like that. I'm going to show you why.
If I stay in my position, I would like it.
That's most, you know what? And that's the key. And hopefully we'll get down this far. Back to Corinthians, he says, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. And that's the reason why, if God has invested the man with the authority, that was Adam's downfall. He abdicated his authority. He gave it up. The man is the ruler.
He followed her.
Yeah. He stopped leading and became the one being led.
Yes.
And she stopped being led and became the leader. And what happened?
It was all downhill
from there. Verse 5, but every man that prayeth, every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. And back to the problem there. If you're in Corinth and you walk into the local assembly and there's some women there who are speaking in the local assembly with their head uncovered, your question would be, as a man who's supposed to be running the local assembly, who's supposed to be the overseer there, is that not out of order? Somebody is usurping somebody's position. And yes.
I thought women weren't supposed to speak at all in this.
That's why I was telling you when we started that one of the guys, I remember this from a class back in Detroit, where he said this was a hypothetical situation. But that, I believe Paul he lays down the natural order first, just so they can't argue with it when he does correct it.
Yeah, and everything was out of order.
Everything was out of order. That's why. And it could have been going on, but Paul said, first, let's establish the natural divine order. So you won't, if I come in and correct it, you won't say, well, that's just your opinion. No, that's not my opinion, because I'm getting this from the Lord, and even nature teaches you this. You can't say that God is not the head of Christ, even though they're working together. You can't say that Christ is not the head of the man, even though they're working together. Just like that, you can't say that man is not the head of the woman, even though they're working together. When anything, he says, I always do the things that my Father wants. I'm subordinate to him. In the plan, we're to be subject to Christ as the head, men and women, right? And then he says, in turn, you're supposed to be subject to the man as the head, especially in the marriage institution. And we spent a lot of time talking about that a few weeks ago, about the marriage institution, how it mirrors God.
Right. You know what? As you was talking, mm-hmm. I don't see why people don't get it. I guess it's simple to me. If the man is the head, then the lady obviously got to be the neck, and they work together. No neck without the. I mean, what can a head do without a neck? And so they work together, you know. I guess the role, people want to change the roles, but that's how God ordered it, you know.
Right.
When we do it the right way, it flows, you know. It works good. But when we don't do it his way, you got two heads.
You're free.
I heard it was a monster, you know.
Right.
Even in a corporate situation, men find it hard to work under a woman.
That's true. That's and you know what? It has nothing to do with intelligence. It has nothing to do with aptitude. It has everything to do with order. And we talked a little bit about the government, where we send the women over to the eastern states, and
right.
without an idea, they know this order. In the Middle East, they know this order. They believe this order. They stand for this order.
Even to a fault, almost. Well, yeah, to a fault.
It's not a fault.
It's
punishable.
Well, you know what? They usurp. They don't look at the woman as the prize that she is.
Right.
They put her under the thumb.
I was going to say they replaced Christ with Muhammad.
They replaced Christ with Muhammad, right? That's probably why they treat her so. That's error number one, right? You know, and most we were talking about this. Most people would say Paul is a misogynist or Paul is a chauvinist. That's not the case either. He exalts woman to a very high position.
Well, Christianity has really exalted women, and rightly so. You know. Within a church or anything, you can't go as far without a woman's help. You know, James Brown sung a song. He said, "This is a man's world, but it's nothing without a woman." You know, so God put us on the earth for a reason. You know, if He only wanted all men to be here running, He would have did that. But
right.
He told Adam, "I want you to multiply, replenish the earth." He can't do that by himself.
Thank you, and that's why. When he said he made them male and female, and he gave them the commandments to have dominion, mm-hmm. there's the
be fruitful,
multiply,
replenish
the earth. You and I together can't do that.
Impossible.
And that's what Paul, he says in Romans, he says, let's go back here. He says, every woman that prayeth or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. If you continue this in Corinth, if you continue to prophesy without your head covering, and he's really setting the stage for them not to do it at all. He says, you might as well just shave it. Just shave your hair off.
Now, in that culture, to have a woman to shave her hair off,
come on,
meant that she was either a prostitute,
yes,
or a feminist,
yes.
And that's why it's so good to understand the culture of that day and time. So, Paul is really he's saying some heavy stuff here, you know.
He's saying, I'm going to repeat that because for people who in that culture, if you shaved your head as a woman, it meant you were either a prostitute, a harlot, or a feminist, which they didn't have that name back then. You would more so be a usurper. Thank you. You're just out of order, right?
Usurper, that's good.
And I was reading, this was a while back, I was reading something that the women there so much so wanted to be equal with the men that some of them would ride around on horseback bare-breasted to want to do to war, to go to battle with them.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to say something else. In that Sunday, we're going to finally annex get to Corinth. And that's where the great temple of Aphrodite was.
That's
that
right.
That was all about, so they had thousands of prostitutes. Their worship was using
yes.
prostitutes and all of that. So you can really see how this fits right in with
yes. This is.
It's like you're trying to be like the culture.
That's right. Listen, I think, we didn't bring a whole lot of information about the city, though, but. Right. This city, it was just, like I said, it was Las Vegas, but it was above Las Vegas. It was a very wealthy city, and it was a very immoral city. So, as far as sexual relationships go, it was no thing. It was no big thing. Hey, we're talking. We're going to the temple Friday.
Right.
You know what happened at the temple?
Right.
It had nothing to do with. It was all sex, and in a religious manner too. It was. They had their own priests. They had their own. What do you call them?
The whole shebang.
The subordinates up under them. It was aiding in the worship service. You know, I'm get back to this in a second. I was reading, this is a book, this was had to be 10 years ago. And it said that we have so perverted the word of God is that one day they'll say that God is love. And the high expression of love is sex. So to prove that your love for God is there, you have to consummate it with what? With sex. So one day the church services be one big orgy. And I thought, at the time I was reading it, I said, that's ridiculous. That'll never happen.
That's what Paul ran into.
That's what Paul ran into.
That was the culture he was in, yeah.
Not knowing the scripture, Paul said, that's what I'm dealing with right now.
Did they not also have male prostitutes also?
They sure did. Everything was there. You know, that's no different from when the Lord was telling the Israelites to go into Canaan and take that land over. And he laid down all the things that those people did in Canaan, the Canaanites. And I thought about Lawrence where we talked about the Canaanites. He remembered the Canaanites. And he listed, that, you know what? It was all sexual relationships. Incestuous, bestiality. It was all there. He says, when you go in, that's why I want you to utterly destroy them.
Right.
Because if you don't, guess who will be doing it next? So, but getting sidetracked, he says, it would be, you know what? For that is even all at one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Is it a shame?
Yes.
Not today?
No.
Now, I'm not saying for, you know what, if a woman has cancer, that maybe they'll shave their hair today. But they do it now. They shave their hairs today.
It's a different culture, right?
It's a different culture. But since 1865, since it's official, since it became official, the woman's suffrage was 1865. You know, it wasn't just the right to vote. It keeps going, you know.
Then you get to the abortion decision, and I mean, it's like what's happening in our country right now. It becomes the stepping stone to the next one.
If you pull one stone out, What's another one? After a while, the foundation is crumbled. But the foundation then was the Word of God. As the Word of God becomes under attack, as it continues to be under attack, its principles are under attack.
Right.
That's why when Paul says, "All in Asia have forsaken me," you can't forsake the man without the message. And once you do that, anything goes. That's why when there was no king in Israel, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And he says, verse 6, "For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn, let her be, or shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man." Now that clarifies the point why you shouldn't do that. He says you're the image and glory of God. So if, as long as you're here, Paul said, if you're here in this local assembly, Paul said, you are a representative of God because he has invested that authority in you. So when they come to the head, he says, don't cover your head, because if I were here, I wouldn't cover mine because I'm in charge. That makes sense. He says, now, because I left you in charge, you are representing me. Don't cover your head. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, he said, is one. He says, and there is none other beside me. So when he puts him here, he says, now, there is none other beside you. Well, you. He's the head. Well, you know what? We just looked at that list. When the Lord picks out his 12 apostles, well, disciples follow him, he picks out 12 men and sent them. When they fall off, got 120 people, there were some women in there, he picks out, he said, there's two men that fit this bill. Pick that man out and add him to this lot. When Paul writes to Timothy, he says, I want you to ordain elders in every city that you go into to set these things in order, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. He's not talking about so much as the brick and mortar, but when the believers come together, he says, just, you got to know how to operate. So I want you to put some men in there, and we're going to call those men bishops, overseers. And he gives them qualifications.
Right. Criteria.
He said, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. And he said, now here's the criteria. Likewise, must their wives also be this way. Why? Because they're working together. He doesn't forget about her. So
they two are one, you know.
He also says to Timothy, commit the wives to faithful men.
Who shall be able to? But we're gonna get to you. Even though we're not leaving you out. He says, when I say you, I mean the woman. He says, for man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image, that image, he's the reflection, the representative of God. You remember when they said, should we honor Caesar? He said, give me a penny. They give me a penny, and he said, whose inscription is on this? Whose representation is on this penny? And they said, Caesar. So he says, okay, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render unto God the things that are God. Honor Caesar where he's due honor, and honor God where he's due honor. So the man's here. He says, he's God's icon. He's God's image. He's God's reflection. He's God's representative. Honor him where honor is due.
Amen.
That's why when I walk into the Sunday school and I sit down and she comes out, it's nothing personal, just business. And my spiritual conscience, my inner man, would not let me stay there. Nothing personal. All spiritual. Had nothing, didn't know her. Probably, here's another thing too, is when you share that with a woman, the only woman, let me rephrase that, I believe that the only person that would have a problem with that is a woman who is not in order. Is when you see that, you can't argue with God, for one, and you can't argue with nature. As he goes on to show you, he says, if you reject what I'm saying, he says, even nature shows you this, that there's difference.
And yet today, more and more women are being promoted up. It's all going towards their promotion, and men are being told that by being submissive, they prove how nice they are and how good they are. I mean, it really is the culture.
It's because nobody is taking time to read this, and when they read it, they don't believe it's relevant today. It's obsolete.
Right.
And then they say, well, that's Paul. Paul wrote that, and everybody knows Paul was a chauvinist.
Yeah.
He didn't like women. He didn't have a wife. He didn't want to take a wife with him. But he says, the woman for the woman, but God, but verse 7, but the woman is the glory of the man. How is the woman the glory of the man? You know, let me read the next verse. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. What? Paul, much learning doth make thee mad. He's showing you right now. He said, from the beginning, when God put Adam in his headquarters, that's what the garden was. He puts him there, and he says, okay. He parades the animals in front of him. And he says, you name them. Whatever you name them, that's what they'll be. Doesn't say this, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say this. I bet you, when he paraded those, they were male and female. And he sees that, and he says, wait a minute. Being intelligent, being that he was, he said,
picture.
He said, that's all great, God. He said, but where's mine? They all working together. He said, but where's mine? He said, that's what I want you to say. Come on, sit on the couch. And you know what? And from the man, he pulls out the rib and makes him a what?
Woman.
Made here, you know what? And the word, he said, made here a woman. The word is, he built him a woman. I'm like the priest now. Y'all don't hear me. He built him. He built Adam a woman. He built Adam a wife.
Tailor-made.
Yes, sir. Listen, they say even though she came from him, when the Lord God formed Adam from the dust of the ground, don't you think that fabricated? He made him the man, and then he pulls a woman out, and he fabricates her.
Right.
And he said, "Nah, this is for you." Yes.
I heard Richard Jordan teach something interesting on this. He said, if you think about it, man is supposed to pursue the woman. And he said that when the Lord took Eve from the man, she was formed complete. He was incomplete. That's why he was
chasing after her.
Chase her. Because she, you know.
He took a part out of him that was missing.
That's good.
And you know what? That is. But I look at this. He says, the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. And the woman was made for the man. Mm-hmm. Not vice versa. But think about this. How gracious God is. It was for the woman to help him in bringing the creation into dominion. To help him rule. But in Genesis, he makes a statement like this. He said, when he created these things, and the man was on the sixth day, and he says this, he made these things, and all these things, he says, when he brings it forth, he said, the seed was in itself. Do you remember that? Where it's self-propagating. It's automatic. When he creates Adam, guess who's in Adam? The seed is in him.
Right.
In himself. When he takes her out, it doesn't come out until he what? Well, he puts him to sleep.
Yeah.
And he pulls her out and he says, this is my woman. Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. But later on, when they fall, guess what he calls her? He said, this is Eve. She's the mother of all living. But I'm getting sidetracked. He built the woman. He made a difference. Listen, they talk about evolution. The form of the woman was especially for the man. I don't want to get graphic, but you know what I'm saying, right?
Right.
Everything. The shape, as the evolution would say, all the vestigial structures. That's what they say. You know, those things are worthless. We know God did this. And he says, this is for you. That's when Paul gets to Romans, he says, they refuse to retain God in their knowledge.
Right.
And he gave them up. To dishonor their bodies between themselves. And you know what he said? The first thing he said, look, Romans chapter 1.
Give up the natural use.
Did what?
Natural use.
Romans chapter 1.
You know what I just realized? If I don't touch that or whatever, I bet Jenny, are you still there?
Jenny's gone.
I am.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I've been on mute, so you don't hear the noise.
That's fine. I was just thinking, you know how, like, when you don't touch your laptop for a little while, it kind of goes into hibernation, and I just got to thinking about it because I can't see the screen. Okay.
All right. He says, verse 126. Now, he goes through some things first about in Romans. He talks about they refused to retain God in their knowledge. They worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. He gave them up to vile affections. Verse 26, he says, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. What does he mean when he said they changed the natural use?
Reproduction.
What is that? What is that? What were they made for?
To be for the man.
To be for the man. What do you mean? Thank you. That's what you mean. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error that was meet. He says, she left the very reason I created her was for you. She left you. And you left her. He says, men with men. He said, you know what? Working that which is impossible.
Right.
Unimaginable. Why would I leave you for him?
Dog.
Exactly. There's sickness there.
Exactly. This, she was tailor-made.
Thank you, brother. He said the natural, natural use.
Right. He's not tailor-made.
I'm hard, and she's soft right. and tender.
Right.
Hey, this is God's doing. He said, back to Corinthians, he says, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. For what cause?
She was created.
She says, always remember, God says, you are for him. You're for him. You're to help him. He says, complete for this, him. Complete him. Yep. For this cause, you ought to have power on your head, authority. Show yourself as being under his authority. Now, I was watching The Godfather with my grandmother. We were down in the 4th of July, and every once in a while, you know, it's every three or four visits, she'll break out the Godfather, like, because, I mean, I like it, but she'll, and I was like, all right, Mama, I said, we've seen this, like, I can quote it. I know. But there was a scene in there where Al Pacino is there at the party, and Fredo, his brother, he's a weak man, and Fredo's girlfriend, she's all over the ah! She's all loud and boisterous, and she's like, oh, he's weak. And then the one of the bodyguards goes to him, and he says, Mike says you need to get her under control. If you need some help, let him know. If you want me to do it, I will. And he takes a minute, and he's like, he says, do you want me to help you? He says, yeah. I said all that to say is she was usurping him. She was not a helpmeet.
No, she was in charge.
She was in charge.
Right.
And he couldn't deal with it. He didn't know how to handle it. And he had to have some help. And what... The only way you can, from Paul, to recover this in Corinth is to remind them of their God-ordained positions. And they can't look at it as, man can't look at it, that, like in Genesis, he says, his desire, your desire shall be unto him, but he shall rule over thee. And that's not natural. The natural desire, that is, since the fall, she would always seek to take that authority. And you would always have to say, that's not your place. That's in the best marriages. That's in the pastor's marriage.
So when it says that she'll be preserved in childbirth, and that is because she's going back to what she was intended.
That's part of it. We won't get to that part. But he says, but you ought to have power on her head because of the angels. There you go. He drops that on there. And you said it earlier, is just because they're not down here, like most people think we have guardian angels, they're not here. They're not here now, but they are watching. Paul is, when he talks about this, when he first starts off, he says, I think that God has set forth us apostles last. He says, we're spectacles unto the world, unto men. What? They're looking at, the angels are looking at his labor and how he's enduring these afflictions. They're looking at that, and they know it's for the glory of God. In Ephesians, he said this. He says that the message that we have, Paul said, he said, now to the intent. This is why it's there. The unsearchable riches of Christ is to the intent that the principalities and powers in heavenly places might see the manifold wisdom of God. They can see this plan unfolding. By the time you get to Ephesians, and if you unpack it, they see that, oh, this is a long way from the garden. We didn't know what he was doing in the garden when they created Adam. But we way over here now. He says, look at that. I never would have thought that.
The angel.
And this, look, they know the good and bad. They know, especially after the cross, how wise God was. So now they look back there, they look back here, and they see, you know what? The devil knows this relationship between the man and the woman. The angels know the relationship between the man and the woman. You know who doesn't know? The men and the women. The very objects. That's why when Paul writes, he says, I don't want you ignorant. For I would have you to know this. It's bigger than you. He said, they see this thing unfolding and they recognize the order, so it encourages them this way. When they see the order, they see the structure, they see the plan being carried out, and they see the wisdom of God. They see the two working together, just like when the God works with his son. They see these things happening. They're seeing this plan unfold. And what hangs them up is when we don't walk worthy. Because what God is doing, he says, now, some of you guys left, angels, because you didn't think I had a handle on this thing. But when you see me operating in the body, you'll know that I do. How things work when they're in order. And he said, you know what? You should have never left. They should have never left. And when they see that, they'll say, wow. Paul said this in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and following. He said that, and great is the mystery of godliness. And he goes around and he says, you know what? Christ was God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit.
Seen of angels.
He wasn't talking about the Lord in that one. Look at the verse. 1 Timothy 3. In 1 Timothy, you know he's laying down instructions for the local assembly. That's all the book is about. He's talking to Timothy. He's showing them how to run the local assembly.
Him being the pastor.
And like he said this, look, he said, verse 14, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. He said, you know what? This plan is resting on you. A pillar is what? A supporting structure. The ground is the foundation. You're what's upholding, and you're what this is built on, the body of Christ. He said, now I want you, when you're there, I'm writing these things so you'll know how to handle this. And he says, and without controversy, which is very controversial. Great is the mystery of godliness. Godliness is how these people are working together with God. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. He's saying, you got to let them know how to walk. Because my point is this, because there's some people watching. There's some beings watching. And they're looking and beholding. And they'll see either the wisdom of God or the folly of man. You know what I bet you they're saying? I wish I had the chance that they have.
Right.
Yeah. I wish I had the chance that they have. I hope they know what they have. Look at what God has given them. Look at the position they have. And they know. They know. Guess what? They know. We're headed up there.
Dispossessed.
They know, that's right. They know that. And they said, that's why we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in heavenly places. They don't want you walking that way.
Right.
This is just a practice. When the body comes together, how we order, how we joy, how they behold our joy and order in the Lord, this is just a practice. Why would I give you heavenly places to run when you can't run a local assembly? That's why Paul said this. He said that if a man know not how to rule his own house, forget the church of God. Well, if you're in the church of God, if you can't oversee the church of God, forget the next step.
Back to sweeping the floors.
And you know what? But it's all a privilege. And think about this. It goes all the way down to the individual. That's why he says, Gerald, I need you to function in the capacity that I gave you. Annette, I need you to function in the capacity that I gave you. In Peter, he talks about the men dwelling with the women according to knowledge as unto the weaker vessel. And that is not just a physical thing. It's, you know what a woman will have a tendency to think is that I'm nothing. My role is so insignificant that I don't have anything to do.
Yeah.
And it'll discourage him. He says, no. He said, no. I preached a message about, it was long. God's second greatest gift. It was about the woman and how she fits into this program. But, and that's what Paul said, Paul, the writer, and Peter said that they adorn themselves in a quiet and meek spirit, being subordinate, like Abraham, like Sarah called Abraham Lord. He said, whose daughters you are, as long as he's not making you do what he tell you to do. See, he shouldn't have to make you do that.
Right. That's in the Old Testament?
That's in Peter, chapter 3. Right. So he shouldn't have to force. You know what? You know what every man wants, Jenny? What every husband, he wants to be your superhero. That's what he wants. He wants, that's all he wants. You know what? That's what he wants. He wants you to honor him. He wants you to say, you know what? That's my superhero. He may be far from it, but that's what he wants.
Oh, man, let me tell you something. Can't nobody encourage a man like a woman can.
That's,
he might not be nothing at all, but if she tells him, baby, you are great. You are awesome. There's nobody like you in this world. Man, all of a sudden, he start transforming.
That's right.
Man, he walk with a limp. After she get done with him, he's straight for it. I'll tell you. And God has given women that gift.
That's right.
I was thinking a while back on this issue, and I was just thinking, you know, and the Lord, I think the Lord was just sharing with me. He said, I didn't call women to lead, but to help create leaders. And you look at, I look at athletes and different people, you know what they tell you? When they get their awards and stuff like that, they always go back to somebody and say, you know, it was my coach that helped me. Although I was out there doing all the work, I was catching the ball, whatever, but it was my coach, or it was my teacher. And some people don't understand that you don't necessarily always have to be out in front. You can make you can be very important in that person's life being in the background. But I guess we living in the culture now, people just want to be in the front. Always want to be in the front.
Yeah. But it's, you know what? It's nobody is, and that's the thing is, you know what he said? He said this. He says, and Peter, he said, to do this way, to support him as like Sarah supported Abraham, calling him Lord. And he says that dwell with them according to knowledge as the weaker, giving honor to her as the weaker vessel is, you know, you have to lift her up to appreciate how important she is in this equation. In other words, he said, look, he says, I cannot do this without you. And he said, after that, he says, giving honor to them as a weaker vessel, that your prayers be not hindered. I thought, what? What's he talking about? He says, in other words, he said that this union that God has ordained, that it won't be fruitless. You know, you can have a marriage, a man and woman to come together, but it's fruitless.
Yeah.
It's nowhere near what God intended it to be. Because one or two are out of order and don't realize the position. So you can say, you know what, Lord, we're not moving forward. I can't. Because you're not driving. Or, Lord, we're not getting anywhere. I can't. Because you got the brake on. One of the two is holding the show up. So quit asking and start trusting. And you know what? If women knew this looking for a mate, if they knew what to be, and if men knew what to be, we wouldn't be where we be.
You know, I was thinking about this, you know, homosexual thing going on. And if the church really got what God was saying here, this wouldn't be a problem.
It wouldn't even be an issue. But now it's, you know what's next? And Gerald said, if the gay and lesbian community knew this, believer, you know, it's believers who,
right?
Not long, there'll be a gay and lesbian church. Well, it probably is now.
They've had them for years.
But it'll be
the whole denomination, the Metropolitan Interfaith is.
Is that right?
It is. It was established as a gay church, a gay organization.
But if they could see the church operating the way the word says operate, ain't no way in the world they will say they will want a fake imitation of the real thing. They would be looking at that and saying, you know what, this is good.
No, they wouldn't. And that's why, you know what, when Paul lays this down, and we're going to stop there. When Paul lays this down in Corinth, he just to finish this up, he says, "For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God." Verse 12. We'll finish that up and go into chapter 12 next week. We're way over time. And thank you for your patience. Jenny, thank you.
It was good.